Welcome everyone to My Worst Date. I'm Cassie.
I'm Keegan.
I'm Christina.
Considered singing for a second there, and then I was like, no, I'm too on the spot. I'm not ready. I didn't prepare.
You're like, I need to do a vocal warm-up first. Yeah, I am not prepared for this.
You sprung that on us, Cassie. I wasn't ready.
Well, we were watching videos, and we were watching Kevin James, what's his name? Thurston? No, Thornton. Kevin James Thornton. He is hilarious.
He's my favorite part of TikTok.
He's
yeah, Kevin James Thornton. If you haven't followed him on TikTok, he is so funny. Like, we were literally sitting here crying watching some of these videos, and I don't know, there's just a magic to his storytelling.
Yeah,
because there's no reason it should be as funny. He uses auto-tune, which is hilarious.
Yeah.
But like, there's no reason that his stories should be as funny as they are, except that people are just talented. Like,
full on shame receipts.
Yeah,
that's what it is. It's because you're just like living through his own like shame receipts. Like, he's just sharing everything.
That maxi pad one is, oh my god,
fucking hilarious.
So much. Yeah. And the one about the sausages.
Oh, the sausages is the funniest one to me.
You guys have a special friendship.
Oh no.
Which also,
threw the whole tray of sausage. Okay, sorry.
Yeah,
not to spoil.
I don't want to spoil the story because it is so funny. So go find him on Instagram and on TikTok.
Ugh.
And just like, you'll find, I'm sure it says hot dogs or sausages or something in the like, on the image. But what made me laugh about that is because it's kind of like fucked up, but like anybody who's been to like a fundamentalist Christian church has had a situation like that where it's just like super fucking uncomfortable.
Yes.
And instead of like dealing with it, the adults in charge just kind of like,
this is
like does
fun.
Not compute, and they just like walk away, you know, like and you're like, what are you doing, youth pastor? You should be like protecting this child in your care.
I should shout out that one of our listeners, one of our worsties, is who brought the maxi pad video to my attention. Now, I'd seen him before, but she just kind of refreshed my memory that this person existed. So I appreciate it. That was Shane. She had reached out to us. And I just want to give her a shout because I was like, thank you for bringing that back in my life.
Gold.
That's golden. Yeah.
Well, and I just want to shout out TikTok in general. Just the amount of creativity and, you know, maybe it's the feed that I've curated, but I literally see everything that I want to see.
Oh,
there's
perfect.
Cooking stuff. There's drama on there. There's, I mean, my TikTok brings me nothing but joy. I can literally just spend like an hour scrolling through. And I'm just impressed by people.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I've never tried to figure out how to do some of
these
videos.
I tried once and I gave up immediately. Like, I tried to do it and I was just like, I cannot figure out how to do these cuts. Like, how old am I? I'm like on YouTube, like searching like how to make a TikTok like cut. And I was like, no, you know what?
No,
I'm just going to enjoy it for what it is.
Yep.
I'm going to take my one follower because I'm here purely as a
spectator.
Spectator.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's what I am. Yeah. I'm just like, you're not going to be seeing anything of me, but I'm going to watch all of you.
Going to follow all of the accounts that bring me joy, which are mostly story accounts.
Oh,
people telling stories is like my favorite.
Listen, I think that it's one of those things like, you know, if it weren't for the spectators, they wouldn't have a thing to begin with. Right.
Yeah.
So, you know what? I think it's a know your place. No. You know, we're all good at something. This isn't it for me. And I'm fine with
that. Me too.
I'm totally fine with that.
I'm too self-conscious, I think.
Yeah.
For it.
We have a podcast, by the way,
where
we tell all of our shit. Like, this is good enough.
But the difference is, like, you don't have to see me on a podcast. Whereas, like, I'm like, feel like I have Zoom dysmorphia, which is, they've been talking about that and how, like, it's really affecting women a lot, especially because all we do is have our fucking cameras on, that front facing camera, which is a distortion anyway, because it's like not how you actually look.
Right.
And we have them on all the time. And it's making me like so like weird and self-conscious and analyzing every little thing about my appearance that I'm like, I cannot then get on TikTok.
How's my arm look in this one picture? Like, if I hold it up a little bit like this, is it a little bit better? You
I
know,
feel like
it's so weird.
I feel like the Zoom dysmorphia is similar to when you take a picture of yourself and you look at it too long.
Yeah.
And you're just like, I thought I looked good when I took this picture. And now that I've been staring at it for 10 minutes, I think I look hideous. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just like, you just look, it's like when you look at a word too long and you're like, is that how that's spelled?
Like rural.
Yeah. And right. Like, right, I feel like that's not how that's spelled. You know, that's what we do to our pictures. We just pick them apart. So I'm not made for TikTok because I'd have to look at myself.
It's all the time. It's honestly, it's time consuming. And to be honest, I'm just too fucking busy. That's what it really boils down to me. I mean, like, it's just so time consuming. Everybody acts like, oh, it's so easy to just throw up a video. I'm like, it's not. You have the editing and the, you know, coming up with the ideas, the content creation, the da, 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 da. I'm like, it's already my fucking job. I just don't need it to be my hobby either.
So what were you going to talk to us about TikTok?
Oh, well, right now.
I haven't heard anything, so I'm interested.
And this could be over by the time this episode comes out. I'm not sure. But at this moment, Black TikTok creators are on strike because, you know, all of these dances that go viral on TikTok, like you've got like the Savage dance that like went viral. You have all of these Black creators that are creating these incredible dances. That everyone is using, and then you have white creators who are taking them, doing
them.
They're
making the money,
and they're making the money. They're the ones who are going viral and getting shared. And it, like, I think Addison Rae or whatever her name is, she's not even good at them, but she's got like millions of followers. She was like on Jimmy Fallon, like
really,
right? Wow. And they got criticized because they didn't give any credit to the original creators of these like dances, and so. Black TikTok creators are on strike. They're like, we're not creating anything new. We're not creating any more dances. And so there are all these compilation videos of, you know, white kids on TikTok. So I was trying to find another way to say that, but there is no other way.
Yeah.
Trying to create their own TikTok dances, like viral TikTok dances. And it is
trash. I'm here for that.
Oh, it's... And I'm sure they're not all terrible, right? Like, they're not all terrible, but the compilations I've seen, it looks like a middle school pom squad.
Oh,
like, trying to come up with... Which, look, I'm not a good dancer, so I'm like, I feel you, dude. But I also, again, stay in your lane. Like, I know that that's not
right.
The path for me, okay?
It's unfortunate, but, I mean, that kind of story is not just... TikTok.
That's everything.
A lot of things. That's the story of like Motown. That's the story of Elvis. That's the story. It is.
Entertainment in the United States and food. We talked about High on the Hog. Like all of those things. Like a lot of things. That's why when people get all up in arms about cultural appropriation and it's like, oh, it's not a thing. I don't understand why it should be flattering to you that like we're wanting to use parts of your culture. And it's like, it is up until you're profiting off of it and the original community isn't receiving the same kind of recognition.
Listen, if I'm going to throw my back out, it's going to be throwing my back out by dancing. It is the one thing I am good at. So.
Oh, Lord. But yes, God bless TikTok, man. We've come a long way since the beginning of the pandemic when people were talking some mad shit on TikTok.
Mm. Yeah.
But, you know, we all embrace it and love it now.
So much. So much. What else is going on?
Okay. So someone shared this to our Facebook group. And then I received several text messages about this same thing. And that is the trailer for Netflix's new show, Sexy Beasts.
Oh, God. Okay.
We must discuss.
And I have not seen anything about it except the like one like article with the girl who was the dolphin face.
Did you watch the trailer?
No.
I watched the trailer.
I feel like we need to pause.
I was immediately angry.
I feel like we have to pause just so I can watch this trailer.
What? Why don't you watch it really quickly? Okay. And then we'll jump back in.
I'll cut it out. It's fine.
Okay. So Cassie just watched it. I think we can all agree that this is a furry's fever dream.
Pretty much.
A closeted furry pitched this in a meeting, never expecting anybody to go for it. And they were like, you know what? Sounds like a good idea.
It is so uncomfortable to watch that trailer.
First of all,
I can't even talk.
Let's explain
what it is for the listeners.
Everybody is in extensive animal makeup and they go on blind dates.
What is the show where they do the makeup? What is that show called? The one it was like. I know exactly what
you're talking about.
That's what the show, it's a cross between
that and like Love is Blind.
Yes.
Yeah. Which again, we had Love is Blind. Why do we need this?
Like Love is Blind is at least better.
There are blind dating shows already. I don't understand why we need this.
I'm sorry. I have another question. Suddenly now it's because, okay, we have different races of people. So suddenly we're diverse. Bitch, they're all skinny, good looking people.
Yeah.
Correct. You're not diverse.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's like, are you really rolling the dice that hard?
Not
like,
at all.
It's just like they show them. We get to see them without their animal heads on, they all are good looking.
They're like, all good looking.
They all look like
bachelorette
contestants.
It's so annoying to me. It really is.
They're like, we have levels of brown in here, so I think we've nailed it.
So yeah, what is the drama that like two good looking people might not think they're good looking enough? Like,
yeah,
that's what makes me, it really isn't diverse. It's not saying anything about personality when everybody in there is 95 pounds.
I can't believe people agreed to be on this show. I guess I can believe it because people will do anything to be on TV, but
the imagination of a, like you said, furry fever dream.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, we can make a show during COVID if everybody has masks on.
Well, I'm blaming Masked Singer for this too.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like this is somehow, that show is responsible for this in some way. And
you're not wrong. You're right.
Wild. Like, yeah. It's truly super weird and wild, and also not worth it for how long that they're having to sit in that makeup chair.
Because
you know, it's like
Face Off meets Masked Singer meets The Bachelor.
Watching the baboon and the devil girl quote unquote kiss. You're just mashing your plastic faces together.
Stop it.
This is how I made my Barbies kiss.
Oh my God.
It's so awkward.
Awful.
It's so awful. And I just know that we're going to have to.
I mean, at least a couple episodes. We got to be able to comment on it.
Yeah. So.
Is this
Patreon?
I was going to say, is this a Patreon episode?
Patreon. You know, like, we will do our best to check this out and perhaps comment on this, because it's so out there. It really is, like,
it's
beyond
awful.
Even Love is Blind.
Love
is Blind
was ridiculous and crazy. Yeah. Or it was just ridiculous.
Yeah.
But
it was a wild ride.
It was a wild ride, but this is whole nother level. Yeah.
It is.
Where is this going? I feel like we're really entering into a dystopian phase of reality TV. Like, what's next?
I feel like a lot of people are, and we had a discussion an episode or so back where we were talking about the different things that you can put on your dating profile if you couldn't put your face. Like, what would you put on there? Because there is, I think, a backlash to just going
physical.
Off of the physical, just going off of the face or whatever. But all of these dating shows that, as we've pointed out, are still only good looking young people.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they've really, if a show has come out that's really kind of addressed that.
No, definitely not in the dating world.
Really? No. I mean, really the opportunity to do that would have been Love is Blind. Cause like you do not see each other at all.
Yeah. I would love to see a season of Love is Blind where like the youngest person on there was like 35.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, you're right.
Adult, mature people.
Yeah. Maybe second marriage type people.
Exactly. Yeah. That would have real conversations.
Yes.
I'd watch the fuck out of that.
Yeah.
And I think it could be meaningful.
Jessica can get her second chance is what you're saying.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
What is she, 36 now? I mean, wow.
Practically ancient.
Mark is 26. She is 36.
Yes.
We learned basic math from Jessica.
37, he'll be 27.
I mean.
Yeah. And she'll still be feeding her dog wine.
Oh, God.
You guys remember the beginning of the pandemic?
Oh,
what
no.
a time to be alive. It was all Love is Blind and Tiger King. And
you're right.
Just woof. Well, who are we going to fuck, marry, kill this week?
Man.
You know what I saw? I don't know if it's a TikTok video. I think it was a TikTok video that ended up on Instagram, which was the Tony Hawk and
Avril Lavigne.
Avril Lavigne.
Yeah.
Who, Tony by the way,
Hawk is
a zaddy.
So hot.
Yeah.
He is.
Listen, so I know we've hot. Done zaddies before, but I really feel like we should do that kind of skater boy dude, like the, like that vibe, you know,
dude,
that
are zaddies. I think he's hotter now.
Like Gavin Rossdale.
I agree. He's like, hotter now.
I think Gavin Rossdale's hotter now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know that he was always nanny, hot, but I,
he know. Was always hot though. Yeah. Like, I mean,
yeah.
Still hot.
Yeah.
Still hot. What's his name? Soccer player.
David Beckham. All
right. You cannot get wrong with him. He is a motherfucking zaddy.
Yeah, that's a vibe. That's a vibe. I mean, like all three of them, like, because they're different, right? Yeah. You've got like a musician, a soccer player, and a skateboarder.
Yeah.
But their vibe is similar. Yeah. Like they have like that kind of like, yes.
Yeah.
They're grown ups.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that's my, I'm zaddy. Yep. Always. That's always been my vibe.
Oh, same.
I
have daddy issues. Yeah. I mean, it is a thing for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh. Okay. Okay. So Tony Hawk, Gavin Rosdale,
David Beckham.
David Beckham.
I mean, you cannot go wrong.
You really.
You cannot.
Can't.
How? Okay. I have to say this.
Mm-hmm.
How spicy in bed do you think Tony Hawk is? I think that he's got to be the spiciest one.
Do you think so?
Yeah, there's a part because he's quiet. Because he's quiet. Like, I don't know.
He reminds me so much of like a few guys I went to like high school with.
He reminds me the most of guys I have dated in the past.
Okay.
Like if like me as a teenager or me as like in my early 20s was gonna get with one of them, it probably would have been Tony Hawk.
Mine would have been Gavin as a teenager for sure.
Tony Hawk, if you were like a white guy who was into skateboarding, who was like tall and skinny, it was over. Like that was my
you thing. Were Avril Lavigne.
Yeah,
yeah.
I was going after, that was my genre.
Skater boy is your
my genre.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So if you had
you're right.
Bonus points if you had an acoustic guitar. It was done. Okay.
Forget it. Right?
Listen. Did you wear a beanie? Okay.
No. Or is David Beckham the one who's gonna tear it up?
See,
I feel like he might tear it up.
I actually feel like Gavin Rossdale might like choke you a little, which I'm on board with. So
I feel like that's kind of how I feel about David Beckham, though, too.
They
all have a vibe. But
hot.
Yeah. I this honestly is a very feel hard like one.
The sex game is equal.
I do, too. It's going to be hard. Know? Yeah.
And I'll tell you why I think that, why I'm coming to this conclusion is it has to be to sustain like a marriage for a long time.
Yeah.
You got to be a little bit, you know, adventurous.
That's right.
Kind of change things up. Now, Gavin got a little too adventurous.
Yeah, don't love that.
Perhaps, you know, where you have Tony Hawk and David Beckham who have
married a long time.
Who have maintained it, or at least kept things on the DL that we don't know about it.
And that's smart.
Well, whatever
and
works,
I like that too.
Whatever works for their marriage is fine if it works within, like, you know, their marriage. Like, but yes, so for that reason, I don't know what I'm going to do yet. But what I do know is I'm not going to marry Gavin.
Right.
I feel like of the three, he's failed that test for me. Mm-hmm. So,
fuck it.
I know, right? I'm so torn.
It's very hard.
It's torn because I'm like, there is something about quiet ass Tony Hawk that I'm like,
there's something that makes me want to marry Tony
Hawk. I know. I was just going to say, I think I'm going to marry Tony Hawk.
But he does have a son who shares my name, and that is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
He has a son named Keegan, and it's weird, but you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to marry Tony. Okay.
I like his vibe. I like his whole shtick.
He'd be a good husband.
Yeah.
That his shtick online is basically people not believing that he's Tony Hawk.
I love it.
Mm-hmm. I think it's so funny.
I think it's brilliant.
I think he's the most down to earth of the three of them.
He seems like a really good dad.
Very good dad.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're going to have a great barbecue.
He's going to teach all the neighborhood kids how to skate.
Yeah, he is.
So smart.
I just want him to teach me how to skate.
Me too.
Because, when I went through my Avril Lavigne phase, I had a skateboard that looked like a stick of Juicy Fruit. That was what was on it. And I almost broke my ass like six times. I eventually gave up because I was like,
rule for myself is that I'm not allowed on any sort of contraption that propels my body faster than it can go naturally.
Yeah.
Yeah. So things that are out for me.
Skates.
Skiing, all of those things. When you are
a bike?
When you are a cross-eyed person, you don't ride bikes? No.
Wow.
I don't have the best depth perception. At least in a car, I'm surrounded by metal, which is great. But yeah, as a rule, generally, the pace that I walk at is about how I approach the world.
I don't need to chance it faster.
So. Right. You know, maybe I won't be able to join him on skating, but I feel like there's enough overlap of things that we would both enjoy that it would be great.
Yeah.
And then I got to kill David Beckham.
Wow.
I know. It's hard. I think he's attractive. Yeah. I love a British accent.
Yeah.
I love soccer guys and everything, but...
Yeah. I've made a decision.
What are you going to do, Cass?
You guys have sold me on Tony Hawk. I am definitely going to marry him. He's got the best sense of humor. He's going to be
good
energy. You're going to have fun with him. He's going to be somebody you can share your life with. You're going to be able to talk to him. You're going to communicate well.
Yeah.
David Beckham, I'm going to fuck him. I'm going to, God bless America.
Yeah, he's hot, but he just doesn't seem, I don't get like a sense of humor off
of
him.
No, it's fine. I don't need a sense of humor in bed.
Yeah.
I don't need that.
God,
for fucking.
This is difficult. It's really hard.
Yeah. And then Gavin, I just, as much as teenage me wants to so bad, I just can't forgive him. There's something really, I don't know. It's weird. Like, I just, there's like, I don't know, not forgive him. Like it's in my position to do so.
Right.
Dr. TJ Fossil.
He's waiting for
you. Yeah. He's like, God, if only.
If only Cassie would forgive me for that one.
He's also got an accent. So
true. Yeah.
God, that's tough, man.
It is. Yeah. It is tough.
It is tough.
And you know,
not going to date him. It's going to be fun.
I love a soccer player. I think that they have the best, we've talked about this before, like what athletes, the soccer player body is so like,
it's that lean strength.
Lean all over toned body, which I love, but there's something about Gavin Rossdale.
Yeah.
There's just something like there that I'm just like, I just need to explore the depths of those waters. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just like, I'm not trying to have a relationship with him.
Yeah, no.
Certainly not trying to marry him, because I think of the three, he's
I just needed I needed an out, and I'm like, it's so hard. This
I understand.
Is solid.
I do understand, because I don't feel good about turning down the opportunity to fuck David Beckham. Feels good about that?
I don't.
No one. Right.
Yeah.
But I need to see what that's about. So I'm going to do that. And then I'm just going to set David Beckham to this. Just put him over here.
Put him over here.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's all right. I'll fuck him.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I'll take him.
Really?
I'll take one for the team.
Yeah. Can we do
landing
fuck,
on that
fuck,
sword?
Or fuck Mary this time?
Yeah.
It's just like,
oh, if only.
I know. I'm not kicking David Beckham out.
No.
I'm not gonna be like,
I'm not gonna
kill
you.
I'm not
gonna
do it. I'll be like, fuck these rules and fuck this pussy.
Oh.
Yeah. Damn. Oh wow. Shit. I think we should take a break.
I know. We're gonna take five and we'll
wipe
come
off.
Back with stories.
Yeah. And we're back. All right, Cass, kick us off with some stories.
All right. So I found mine from Reddit. This one will make you not happy.
Okay.
Oh, great.
You love these. I met this guy online. He was a couple years older than me, but that was okay. Turned up, he was actually 50-ish, not 30, as he had said on his profile.
Okay.
Whoa.
It's a big age difference.
That's a pretty big age difference, yeah. We get to the bar and we were making small talk, and he says, I like to get girls drunk.
Okay.
Okay.
Fuck you, dude.
Strike two and three. Like, first of all, she's like, he's slightly older. She thinks he's 30 and he's slightly older. That means she's probably in her 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And then he turns out to be like her dad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I just like, and I like to get girls drunk. That's our lead in. Great. Great, 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 great. Should have left there, but we had reservations for a really nice restaurant attached to the bar. So I just stayed for the food. I'm losing track of strikes as he proceeds to then hit on the waitress, but at the same time also being really rude and horrible
to her.
Are
you a Mad Men character? Like, I feel like this is...
This happened in the 1960s?
Yeah. Like, this is such, like, weird,
yeah,
chauvinistic, like, old school chauvinistic behavior.
Horrible.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like 2020 nice guy behavior, TM, right? No. Like, it's like old school. I can be a fucking, like, chauvinistic prick and it doesn't matter.
Right. Yeah. Well, and we don't know when this happened, and the dude was 50, so maybe he had, like, he's got, like, his eyes set on the past, and
what he's looking for in a woman. He's just like, I just want somebody I can treat like...
Right.
I just want a Betty Draper.
Exactly. Yeah.
I got up near the end of dinner and found her to say I was really sorry for his behavior. His behavior spelled V-I-O-U-R. So this is going to be either Europe, like England or Canada. So maybe this is a guy thing for them. Maybe this is 2020 nice guy TM for them.
I don't know. Let us know.
For his behavior toward her, as it was not okay. And we had a little laugh about some of the things that he had said to me as well throughout the date. One of the gems, he said that he had wife and kids. Great.
Oh. Why? Great. Why?
Then we were leaving the restaurant and I was ready to get the fuck out of there. And I said politely, nice to meet you. I'm heading home now. School night and that. He proceeds to berate me in the middle of a public square. Loads of people were there, by the way, about how I wasn't going to go back to his place to fuck, and how rude that was of me.
Oh my God, how rude.
Legged it out of there and took the long way home in case he had followed me.
Wow.
Isn't that awful?
That's pretty much like checks all my boxes for awful.
Oh, horrible. I do want to mention that she posted something about her second worst date involved a guy who loved smelling women's farts. And he was happy to hear that she was vegetarian because their farts are the best.
All right, Lord Byron, sit down.
I also want to hear that entire story immediately, if not sooner. How does that come up in a conversation?
I don't know. You guys know the Lord Byron story, right? Lovely little farts.
Oh, that wasn't Lord Byron.
Who was it?
Gosh, that was someone else. But it wasn't Lord Byron. But I remember you sharing that it was like a world famous author. And it was later than Lord Byron. It was like into the 20th century.
Yeah, I think it's part of the lost generation in the 20s in Paris.
And it was.
It's going to drive me.
Oh.
Is a whopper. He liked smelling farts, too.
Amazing.
And hearing them in bed.
Yeah. I wouldn't. Oh, man. He'd have a field day with me.
Me too.
He's dying. 100%.
I hate this. Do you know how fast I would leave a date if he said that to me?
Oh, yeah. You, of all people?
Yeah.
No. I mean, I wouldn't love it. I'm not going to lie. I mean, no.
Yeah. I'm happy to be with somebody that is okay with it. Offended by
it. That's right.
But I don't know about it being a turn on. That wouldn't be my
either. But I'm not going to yuck your yum.
Yeah.
But it's just not my yum.
Maybe get on. Okay. That's fine. Never mind. Just move on. Okay.
Well, my story was written by a listener. It's titled Southern Charm to Southern Harm.
Oh no.
Is there a trigger warning here? Shit.
No trigger warning.
Okay.
I went on a date with a coworker's boyfriend's friend. I had met him once at a bar when I was shit-faced the week before, and from what I barely remembered, he seemed nice and was handsome. He asked me to go to this really nice restaurant I had been wanting to try. So again, a theme. So sometimes if you pick a good restaurant, you can prolong the date.
People will stick through almost anything.
Really want to try those scallops.
Really did want to go to Petit Trois.
Yeah. So, and since I had recently gotten out of a shitstorm relationship with a man child, I thought I'd give him a chance. He picks me up in a truck with camo seats and a Bass Pro Shop hat on the dashboard. And I tried to pretend that wasn't a huge turnoff for me.
Did he have chew in his mouth?
Look, I mean, Bass Pro, I'm pretty sure Springfield is the like birthplace of Bass Pro.
Bass Pro
Shop. It has like the largest Bass Pro shop in maybe not in the country, but it's massive. It has like a whole like museum in it, you know?
Wow.
And that is a very common occurrence in my neck of the woods, and not a turn on for me either. It is for some women.
Look, yeah.
There are plenty of women out there who that's their thing. Okay?
Yeah. Well, he parks in a motel looking apartment complex's parking lot, and I look at him confused. He tells me, "This is my place. We're going to walk because valet's $10. Mind you, I'm wearing high ass heels and the sidewalk has craters in it the size of my regret for agreeing to go on the date.
Okay, so pause there because I do want to say we're from LA.
Yeah.
I feel like honestly nothing wrong with parking at someone's like house to avoid paying for parking if they're close by. Yeah. But you got to let someone know.
Yeah.
Like you got to let them know that that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Because, walking, it matters.
Because heels, yes. I suck it up and try not to break an ankle walking over, and we get seated at the restaurant. I have been a huge fan of this podcast.
Yay!
Thank you. So I thought it'd be fun to interrupt his spiel of talking about himself for 45 minutes to ask him if he has ever been on a really bad date.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
He looks at me with an offended look on his face and goes, "No? What? Why?" And I said, "Oh, just curious. I've had a few bad dates and I think they're funny to share." And then silence. Our server comes back and asks if we want appetizers.
He would not be a fan of our show.
No.
He's like, "How dare you?
Dr. TJ Fox?"
Yeah.
Oh my God, it is.
He's like, "I knew it."
He's like, "I tried listening to one because my date said she listened to you." Yeah. I hated it.
I hate it. One star. Our server comes back and asks if we want appetizers. I'm a huge appetizer girl. Girl, same. And he goes, "We don't need those, right?" Oh. I guess not. So aside from the fact he was cheap with no sense of humor, I'm still too nice to say no thanks when he asks if I want a tour of his disgusting apartment.
No.
We walk in.
No.
It smells like my Nana's house. Cobwebs in the corners of the wall. Whoa. It looks exactly like an apartment a dead body would be found in. I bet it's an old dish towel. I go into his room and see cowboy boots. So I joke, "You're a big country boy, huh?" And he sprints past me to slam his walk-in closet.
Oh. I go, "There is a dead body
what
in there.
Is
there
is. In there.
Oh my God. What's it's just box? Like the story I told you. Oh my God."
I go, "What's in there? A horse?" And he goes, "Well, not exactly."
No, stop it.
No, stop. No.
Hesitantly.
No.
He opens the door.
No.
You didn't need to.
Disappears for a few seconds. He walks back out holding an AR-15 and points it at me.
No.
A gun. No. A fucking G-U-N gun.
Is she from my hometown?
I panic and almost start crying. Literally felt like the air had left my lungs, and I shield my face as if that will protect me from the damage an assault rifle could do.
Oh my God.
He proceeds to tell me about all of his guns. He had more than 5 in the apartment alone.
And but you don't know basic gun safety? Like, right. don't point your gun at someone?
And I pretend to be interested until I ask him to please take me home. On the way home, he says, "I bet I can get to your house with no directions."
I hope not.
And I say, "How?" And he said, "I memorized it." Perfect. I obviously ghosted this fuckhead.
That's so weird.
Told all my friends the story and kept my doors locked and security system on. Fast forward a week.
No.
I'm out at the bars and I see him. He comes up and acts so weird with a hint of rejection and sadness. I tell him the date was fine and that I had just been really busy. He ends up following me around all night and eventually gets the hint and leaves, but texts me, "Lose my number."
Okay.
Just his luck I already had. Moral of the story, not all country boys have southern charm. So
should have wrote back and been like, "Who's this?"
Yeah. She also added on that she forgot 2 huge details he said while we were still together on the date. Number 1, fat black women are always the funniest. And 2, they're gay? Ew. So this guy is just full of fun.
Sounds charming.
Just absolutely
snake charming.
Wow.
I hate him. He sounds
It reminded me awful. A lot of the story that you told, I think it was last week.
Yes.
Where it's just like when you're in danger.
Yes.
Danger, 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 danger.
A man who has an entire arsenal has memorized the route to your house.
I do not like that.
I don't like that.
I think it ended the best way it could, which was with him telling her to lose. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You lose my number. Oh.
Oh, okay. It's too bad. Okay. Bye.
Lose the route to my house. How about that?
Please.
Y'all are not about to feel any better.
Oh, this is the mad episode.
About the state of the world. And Cassie, there are some parallels between your story and my story. I love when there's a through line. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we're getting heated up in here this week.
This one's a little long, but it's
worth it.
Got it. It's good. Okay. 2 years and 2 states later, I'm still a little hesitant about posting the state.
Oh, Jesus.
Wait, I'm getting ahead of myself. I don't understand why anyone posts decade-old profile photos. I'm a curvy girl. If a guy isn't into that, I'd much rather he politely ignore my first contact email than do a disgusted double take when he first sees me.
Oh.
Gentlemen, it doesn't matter how good you looked 10 years ago when you had more hair and less belly. If your photo is so out of date that a woman can't recognize you, I promise there is no hope that she will look past that. No. Instead, she's going to take one look at you and assume that everything you've told her is a lie.
Yep.
Don't be that guy.
Yeah. 100. I love she comes in with a nice lead in. Directing people on how to treat other people and be smart about online dating.
Right. And it's not shaming at all. It's just being honest. Just be honest.
It's not going to work.
Right. Officer Creepy was succinct, flattering, and interested in meeting over dinner, his treat. At the time, I thought any excuse to visit one of Bardstone Road's tastier houses of meaty delights was a good one.
Oh my God. I agreed to meet.
Right?
It's a good restaurant.
That's what it takes. It's what it takes.
Fine.
Like, we're hungry.
You really could get me. Especially somewhere like LA where there are so many like good restaurants that I'm like, I'm not going to go try myself. Yeah. You could really lure me in hook, line, sinker.
Well, dude, you can have a van with no windows that's like best tacos. And I'd be like, I'll try it.
Sure. The best
and
tacos?
Kidnapped.
Yeah.
God damn it. I knew it.
So she says, I agreed to meet him on a nice, unromantic Tuesday.
Perfect.
Based on his profile, I expected a slightly straight-laced, pleasantly plump, curly-haired man, 8 to 10 years my senior. When I showed up to the restaurant, the restaurant was full of the usual Bardstown Road crowd of hipsters on dates, young professionals out for a night of adventure, and cheerful tables full of heavily tattooed and pierced people who work on the strip.
Perfect. Sounds perfect.
Sounds great. I took a seat by the bar and let the waitress know if I was here for a date. If he stood me up, I'd order some empanadas to take home. Internet date, she leaned in conspiratorially. Is there a special rescue signal I should know about?
Oh, nice. Good girl.
Yeah.
Yes.
This is one of the reasons I loved first dates on Bardstown. I grinned and gave her the Vulcan live long and prosper salute.
Nice. I like this.
Mm-hmm. Suddenly, a hand clapped on my shoulder. Let's take this outside.
What am I, an arrest?
What's happening right now? A bald, jowly stranger behind me was older than my father.
She's like, Vulcan, Vulcan.
Excuse me? Rachel and I will take a large carafe of sangria and a table outside, he told the waitress. Okay, he knew my name. Either this was my date or I was finally about to be recruited into a secret government agency.
Finally!
Come on, yes. S.H.I.E.L.D., please be real. I've always wanted to live on a helicarrier. Sadly, it was my date.
Oh.
He carried the sangria out and poured for me. I drank nervously while looking over the menu. He suddenly topped me off, carefully watching me drink.
I don't like that.
You look different than I expected, I said. He looked at me like I had revealed a state secret. They said, use my best photo. Is that a thing on dating websites? There's like a list of do's and don'ts.
I have great pictures of me when I was 3.
Sure.
Those are my best pictures. You want me to use those?
Yes.
Like, what do you think that they're talking about? That's, oh my God.
When was that one taken? In the photo, he leaned over the edge of a boat floating in front of some mountains. Now, I suspected he'd have a heart attack if he tried to hike a mountain.
Oh, no.
When I was 42, he said. What year was that? His profile said he was 44. The last 2 years must have been very hard on him. He glared at me. 1996.
Sir.
Oh, I can't math that fast.
It ain't good.
I sighed. He was older than my father.
He's got to be like in the 60s.
Yeah. He topped off my glass again. What do you think I do for a living? I really couldn't guess. A desk job? He obviously... like, I'm not going to say that. He crossed his arms. I'll give you a hint. You wouldn't be here if you knew.
Okay.
Garbage collector, I guess. Try again. Accountant? I'm serious, he growled. So am I. Okay. I suck at this game. Just tell me what you do for a living.
Oh, no. Oh, shit.
I'm a police officer. He refilled my sangria. I noticed he hadn't taken a sip of his own. Great. He topped off my glass every time I took a sip. I tried to gauge whether or not I'd had a whole... whether or not I'd had a whole glass yet. Just to be safe, I knew I was trapped for at least 2 hours if I didn't want to risk him accusing me of drinking and driving. I reach into my purse to try and summon a rescue. Turn off your cell phone. I don't want you texting all through dinner.
Sir, you are not... This is not 50 Shades of Grey.
This is terrifying.
Honey. And he also was like, you wouldn't have come if you knew... I'm like, I wouldn't have come if I knew a whole bunch of other shit things. About you.
Yeah.
What?
That you're 60.
That you're older than my dad.
Yeah.
That you misrepresent yourself and lie online. Okay. That you're being really fucking shady with alcohol.
Yeah, you're bossing
very scary.
Me around.
Like, that is a tactic to continuously fill up someone's glass so they can't gauge how many glasses of wine
like
they've had. It's very, manipulative. There went my primary lifeline. Moving very slowly, I did as I was told. The waitress emerged to take our orders. I tried holding up my Vulcan salute slightly behind his head, but his eyes flickered to my reflection in the restaurant's window. He pulled out his badge and showed it to the waitress.
What?
Bring us a pitcher of water and come back for our order in 15 minutes.
What?
She promptly disappeared, avoiding eye contact with us both. Once she was gone, he got down to business. I took down your plates after I saw you get out of your car. Let's get something straight. I've seen your blog. You're not writing about me. If you do, I'm sure a girl like you has done things you regret. You don't want to regret them more.
Holy shit.
My eyes...
fucking shook.
Oh, yeah.
This is a real fucking human being.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. My eyes widened in shock. Nothing makes a date go better than liquoring a girl up and threatening her. I only write about the bad dates, I reminded him. Honestly, most of my dates are just plain conversation. We don't really feel a spark. We go our separate ways. No harm done. I give him an optimistic smile. He laughed bitterly. How a date ends is always up to the woman. I couldn't quite tell if that was a threat, a suggestion, or both. He topped off my sangria again, then looked me in the eyes. You'd regret writing about me. It's a bad idea. Now take a drink. Wow. Relax. I dutifully put the glass to my lips. Over the next 2 hours, I learned that after his upcoming retirement, he fantasized about building an isolated house on a cliff face in Chile where supplies would be delivered by donkey once a week and no one would bother him. I pointed out that I am a city girl who loves living in a walkable neighborhood with my own corner bookstore, restaurant, and bar where the staff knows me. I learned he resented people with advanced education because, according to him, the only purpose of an academic degree was to indoctrinate people into the liberal agenda.
Oh.
I pointed out I listed my MA in history on my online profile. I learned he thought the space program was a stupid waste of money.
Oh,
I pointed
no.
out I follow the XPRIZE religiously and covet stock in Bigelow Aerospace. Under other circumstances, I would have left over an hour earlier, but I wasn't sure how to get away from Officer Creepy without being accused of a DUI. I hadn't touched my sangria since his revelation. After a while, I had to know. Listen, I asked as politely as I could. I'm pretty honest on my profile. I'm a liberal, overeducated, geeky city girl. We don't have anything in common. Why did you write to me? Girls on OK Cupid put out.
Oh
my God.
My. God.
The horror on my face must have pleased him. He grunted and looked away. Never mind. You're fatter than I expected.
I want to set this human on fire. Violence right now. I want to violence. That's all I can say. Yep. That doesn't even make sense, but that's how I feel.
That was the first good news I'd heard all night.
You're like, oh, thank God.
I'd rub mud in my hair and roll around in trash if it could get me out of this horrifying date. I liked lanky tech nerds built like a sack of hangers. This conservative cop.
Same.
Right?
Totally understand that.
I scrambled to come up with an appropriate response that would save face for him without resulting in retribution for me. It was really interesting meeting you, but I'm looking for a relationship, not a one-night stand. I'm sorry you wasted your evening. Let me buy dinner. Get the sangria too, he says.
I'm going to not get that thing.
The carafe sat untouched since he revealed he was secretly a cop. I felt lucky he didn't tell me to buy him a gift certificate and a box of donuts. I waited silently.
But
while
I would have if it got me out of there.
Mm-hmm. I waited silently while the waitress boxed up both of our dinners for him to take home. This better not show up on your blog. While I waited to sign the debit card receipt, he huffed off to find some other woman to intimidate. Once he was gone, the waitress topped off the carafe of sangria before sealing it with aluminum foil and a rubber band. Take it home. She gave my shoulder a sympathetic squeeze. You look like you could use it.
Oh, my God.
Oh, bless your heart.
That is horrifying on so many levels. The worst part of it being him taking down her fucking license plate number and threatening her.
Well, how many people has he abused? Like, so many.
And you know he knows. He's like, what are you going to do? Call the cops
on me? Yeah, exactly.
I would start recording that conversation immediately, if not sooner.
Yeah, you're so unsafe. And here's the thing. I went on dates and I would make sure to tell people before I went out with them. And I know I talked about it on this podcast before that I have a bad date podcast.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I know that cost me some dates. Mm-hmm. I know that people were not comfortable with it. Sure. And that's cool. But I wasn't about to lie. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, yeah, it's, oh my God.
Wow. Yeah. Very, very, very scary situation that I'm glad she got out of.
That was a bunch of really scary stories. Scary
dates, I know. Great. I can't wait to tell you my tainted love, which is also another scary story.
Yeah. It's scary.
So, I want to preface this by saying that I did a story that is a little close to home. I actually knew this guy peripherally. Because we're in the same industry together and had been to multiple events together. So I knew this person, very well known in my industry, been at shows that he was at as well. Like, definitely one of those cross path situations, not a friend, but definitely somebody who
work colleague.
Exactly. Somebody in the work periphery of my life. Right. Mm-hmm. So I remember when I heard about this, I was like, oh my God, what a tragedy. So I'm going to tell you guys the story about Fabio Cimentelli. Fabio Cimentelli was an award-winning hairdresser. He was just full of like big life. Like, he was just a teddy bear. In fact, so much of a teddy bear that like people would call him Big Daddy. Like, everybody was like, Big Daddy Cimentelli. Like, he was just like the super lovable guy. He's originally from Toronto, in Canada. And so he and his sister both were hairdressers, and they actually worked together in the salon together, worked as a team, doing shows and doing events. And, you know, he really just kind of grew. He was one of those people that just really personality. Hair shows are such a different beast, and a lot of what you do is showmanship. Mm-hmm. And he just had that, right? He had that showmanship and just really grew into, you know, just a sought after artist who was really good at what he did, but almost just a really good talker too. You know what I mean? Sometimes it's just, you sell yourself first, and he was really good at that. And everybody loved him. I mean, he was just well known in the industry as one of the nicest guys, like just super sweet, shirt off his back, just do anything. So, you know, for him coming up in the industry, like, you know, he's making name for himself. He becomes an artistic contributor to Wella, which is a brand I'm sure you guys have heard of, because you know me.
Yep.
So he started working with Wella, eventually became like a creative director for them, moving all the way up into a VP of education position, which is incredible. Like, it's a really big move up, a VP position in a company like Wella, which eventually was owned by Coty. I mean, you're talking about a big corporate job, which is, but in a creative field. And personally, this is my life, right? Like, I'm not a VP, but I definitely understand that kind of side. You still get to have that creative side, but you it's kind of like using left and right brain. It's a very exciting thing in this industry to kind of be able to move into those types of roles. So for him, this was a big move up, a big, you know, forward trajectory. This is huge. And so big that, like, at this point, like, he's having to make the move to Los Angeles from Toronto. Him, his entire family are all from Toronto. He has a son with his first wife, Luigi. And he, you know, is there, his parents, his, you know, sister, he's kind of leaving his entire, like, family hub to take this job here in Los Angeles. Wella, and I think still is in Woodland Hills. So he finds a really beautiful place in Woodland Hills with his second wife. His second wife, Monica, they had been married since like 1997, right? So they've been married for a really long time. And everyone describes it as like the perfect marriage. Like, everyone is like, they're just a beautiful couple. They dance. There's videos of them dancing in the kitchen. Like, they just have a fun, loving, real joie de vivre type of life, right? Like, you can just tell there's passion and love, and just, it's a joy life, right? And it's just, they just keep, it's blessed on blessed, right? They have two daughters, and who are teenagers by the time that they come to Los Angeles. So they're, you know, living it up, Woodland Hills, beautiful mansion. Actually, it's funny because I'm pretty sure it takes place in Woodland Hills, but there's also some things that say Thousand Oaks, which is kind of neighboring. It's in that kind of neighborhood. Really nice. Anybody who's not from here, it's a really nice neighborhood. Beautiful homes, closer to the Kardashians where they live in Calabasas kind of area. Like, it's just
Calabasas.
Really Calabasas. It's Calabasas.
Calabasas.
Sorry. So, beautiful life, beautiful wife, Monica, and their two lovely children, Jennifer and Isabella. So, Jennifer with a G, by the way, which I really love.
Wait, what happened to... Oh, Luigi was with his first...
Luigi, and a little bit older, and so was with his first wife. And
I was like, where'd Luigi go? Okay.
No, we just got rid of him. So, they... this is 2011 when they move out there with their two teenage daughters. And, you know, seemingly everything's fabulous. They have a beautiful house, a pool. They have Fabio had just bought a black Porsche Boxster, I think. So I mean, like, he's just, you know, he's happy living his life and having a good time. And, you know, his wife, again, seemingly just lovely and happy. So when on January 23rd, 2017, a call comes in to the police that Isabella had come home and found her father and their home ransacked, and her father was collapsed by the pool in a puddle of blood. Police were like, wow, what the fuck happened? Obviously, this is, you know, it's, they had a gated like entry to their home. Like, this is, you know, and this is a heavily like surveilled neighborhood as far as like everybody's got cameras. Well, the big thing that was happening at that time, you guys will remember this, are the knock knock burglars, right? So they were like, this is clearly a robbery. There's, you know, they've taken like lots of stuff. The place has been ransacked. Stuff has been gone through. So this is
definitely... there a dateline on this?
48 hours.
Thank you. I was like, I know I've
think
seen
I think
this.
I've sent it. Well, I've definitely told you guys about it too, because I know him, right?
Yeah.
So they go in, and it's like the knock knock burglars. They're like, okay, this kind of feels maybe like that's what's happening. It's the only thing we can think of. And maybe they were spooked. They didn't realize that he was there, and they ended up killing him. Well, they found that he had multiple stab wounds. So it was like, you know, not just in his like hands, like as a defensive, chest, neck, like he had blood, and he's just covered in blood and multiple stab wounds. So like somebody, they were like, this feels very like targeted as well. But they're like, who the hell would target a hairdresser in Woodland Hills? Like, this is just so weird. And they're like, you know, it could be the knock knock burglars, but there's no, this is not part of their MO. They've never murdered someone before. So it just, like, it wasn't really adding up. Videos from the neighbor's house shows that there's two men like jogging up to the house with like their, they have like a hooded sweatshirts on with their, the ties like mm-hmm. tied basically all the way to just like a little hole.
Not suspicious at all.
No, no, totally looks normal.
Yeah.
Absolutely normal. And the other weird thing is that because of the knock knock burglars, like everybody in the neighborhood had like these surveillance systems, like really high tech, very well put together surveillance systems, including the Cimentellis. Cimentellis were like, yeah, obviously everybody's breaking in. They had a whole security system set up, you know, multi-camera system that had a DVR set up so that could be recorded and you could, you know, go back, etc. What was weird though is when they got to the house, the box for the DVR for the camera was actually ripped out and they found it in the garage, which was really bizarre for just a bunch of burglars who...
How would they know
yeah. where to find it? How would they... Yeah. Why? And what... Why?
Yeah.
So it all was very suspicious. The men did... They also see in the video surveillance of the neighbor's house that they fled in his Porsche... his black Porsche. So the other weird thing about that is they literally found the car like just miles from his home. So it's like, that feels like a really like a lot to go through to then just dump the one thing that probably was the most expensive right. thing you grabbed.
Yeah.
Right? Like it's suspicious, right?
Yeah.
So during this time, and I remember this time, so like after he passed, you know, again, this is like, everybody's like, well, you know, it feels very much like it's probably these burglars, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, every company, you know, Wella put out a statement. I remember Behind the Chair, like there was like all these awards and like there's so many celebrations of his life. Like it was just a real big miss. And it just felt so tragic and unnecessary the way he passed. Like it's a murder. Like, I mean, somebody like so important to our industry is just murdered. It just feels so, it's shocking, right? Mm-hmm. And So they're of course doing the investigation, they're taking, you know, fingerprints, stuff like that, and they do find something suspicious. They find another DNA contribution within like blood samples and things like that, and they're like, this is suspicious, let's test it out. And they did, and their results came back for a guy named Rob Baker. Imagine a Kirkland brand Mark Wahlberg.
Okay, that's, I know exactly what that
specific.
Looks like.
Yeah. And yeah.
It is, and I swear to you, I can't wait to show you his picture. It is very Kirkland brand Mark Wahlberg. It's
like it's almost quite it, but not
it's,
it. Yeah.
It's just not quite. And they found the DNA in the crime in the system because guess what? Rob Baker is a registered sex offender.
Okay.
From Orange County, who was on the registry list for having lewd and activities with a 14-year-old minor.
Ooh. Have you ever? I learned that you could go to the California website and see who was living in your neighborhood.
Who
and
are the fuckers in your neighborhood?
Uh-huh. And like why they're in your neighborhood. That's a very scary
a
thing
journey.
To do with your like Saturday morning. Just
I did that while I was single one time. Really sent myself into an anxiety spiral.
Yeah, because you're like, well, my next door neighbor has done some real fucked up shit and now I know I can't unknow it.
Yeah.
And then every time you see that person you're like, oh, you're a monster.
Yeah.
All right, so weird. So everything that's going on to this point is, you know, everybody's sad. His wife is posting these really incredibly sad, like, you know, I miss you so much. But the weird thing is that Rob Baker's DNA in the house. Also, hundreds of texts and calls to Monica. So how does she know Monica? Or how does he know Monica? Rob and Monica had actually been in a relationship for a year and a half. They had met because Rob is an instructor at one of the LA fitness centers that she goes
Pause. To. Why is a sex offender allowed to be a fitness instructor? I really feel like that's a very close contact kind of job with people.
He specifically worked as the racquetball coach and like had teams and all kinds of stuff. Just a real...
I believe that, you know, of course, prison is meant for reform and like people should... Whatever. Okay. But we already have a huge issue with the way that women specifically are treated and sexualized in gyms. That I really feel like that kind of job is inappropriate.
Mm. You know what was the weirdest part of hearing about him is her friend who also knew Rob through the fitness center. The way she was describing him was that the way she described him was like a character out of a like a book, right? Like a character out of like a...
Positively or negatively?
No, positively. Like a romance book. Like she was describing him like he was Christian Grey. Like he's just really rugged and he's just very like kind of like commanding personality.
Monica had been cheating on Fabio then for like a year and a half.
Yes. And there were some telltale signs posts where like his family was like, yeah, she seemed unhappy. You know, she really missed home. You know, Fabio has this whole new life and he's traveling a bunch. You guys know how much I traveled when I was. And, you know, so it just kind of felt like maybe the relationship was starting to take a little bit of a backseat to his career, which was, I think, tough. Plus, your kids are growing up. They're about to leave. I mean, home probably within the next few years to go off to college. You're probably feeling super lonely. You know, it's probably all leading up to kind of just feeling...
An affair and a divorce, not like a murder.
Right.
Well, you know, but Fabio does have a 1.6 million life insurance policy. And...
I just, throughout all of these stories, I'm always like, is it worth the gamble that you're not going to get caught? Because we just did our Tainted Love movie episode for Patreon on War of the Roses. And same sort of thing. I'm just like, if you're in prison, you don't get to enjoy whatever the reward is that you think that you're going to get at the end of this. Like,
it's so short-sighted. And it's like, I don't know why people are so afraid of like divorce or change or what have you. It's like, I'll tell you, going through a divorce sucks and it's really hard. I guarantee you, I don't know from experience, but I bet you prison and a lengthy trial for murder sucks more.
Probably.
Right. But you know,
I'm going to say it costs more.
Probably, yeah. It definitely sucks more, I think.
I think
it definitely sucks more.
Your wardrobe sucks more for sure.
For sure.
Oh, yeah. Eating.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Can't be good. No. You're not going to those nice restaurants.
No delicious restaurants in prison. But I mean, it's clearly not even about that, though. It's just greed. Like, it's just greed. Yeah. It's just like you're rolling the dice on, like, yeah, maybe prison, but maybe
1.6 lots of money. $1.6 million.
Yeah. You know,
well, all during this time too, like the mourning, the process, everything, keeps calling the police and is like, where are we at with this investigation? I could be like talking to this killer. Who knows? Like, she's so worried and she keeps badgering the police. Like, why can't I get this money from his life insurance policy? I need it for, you know, because we have expenses, et cetera, et cetera. And definitely does not show, you know, not suspicious at all. Said no one ever. Right?
Yeah.
And, you know, it turns out that all during this time, she is in Las Vegas with her lover, Rob, posting all these real sad sob stories about her husband being gone while she's literally in the court papers. It literally says while she's having sex with Rob in a hotel in Vegas.
Why are people so stupid? Like, also, that's the other takeaway from all of these stories where I'm just like, dude, not like I'm telling you how to criminal, because I don't want to do that. But I'm also like, you can't play it cool for like a little while.
Be
like
cool,
immediately.
Dude. Right.
Don't you know how that looks?
I will tell you exactly how she and Rob criminaled. The police did a very thorough investigation and found out quite a bit. It turns out that when the security systems were installed, that she immediately gave Rob all of her passwords and everything that he needed to be able to access remotely, the you know, the all of their cameras, system, yeah. their yeah. entire system, right? She also, this is all 6 months before, you know, this happens. She is, you know, also setting up her entire system so that she can see everything through her phone as well. And on the day of the murder, on the 23rd, Monica is very actively in places in which she can be monitored as well. So she goes to Target, spends an hour in Target, which
looks
honestly
directly
feels,
into that camera, yeah, waves that monitor camera yeah. at the self checkout.
Yeah. She spends an hour at Target, then heads over to Ralph's for a while, all under the guise of shopping, while simultaneously her husband is being murdered. Not only that, she is watching.
She's logged in. They can see.
Oh,
she's logged in.
Watching it happen.
Oh, my God. That's
awful.
Oh,
that's disgusting.
So as to not throw suspicion on herself, she has made sure, of course, that her daughters won't be home. Her oldest daughter, Jennifer, is out babysitting. So she made sure that was happening. But also to throw suspicion off herself, she made sure she wasn't the one who came home and found him dead. She let her fucking 16-year-old daughter come home and find her fucking father dead.
There's not enough therapy in the world to get you over that.
I don't know how it feels to lose a parent. I certainly can't imagine what that would be like as a child, and then learning that like your other parent mm-hmm. did it.
And that's, set you up to find like that for that kind of trauma as well. Like, horrible.
That's so
completely
sad.
Awful, right?
Yeah.
That your fucking other parent let you walk in to find your father dead. How fucked? How fucked, dude? Anyway, so yeah. Yeah, it's awful. So at any rate, you know, long story short, they have both pled innocent. Of course they did, because they couldn't possibly have done this thing that they have enough evidence of them doing.
Yeah.
You know.
Ugh, that's terrible.
Sorry. So at any rate, they've pled guilty.
Or pled innocent.
Yes. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry. They pled innocent. They have yet to be put fully on trial, because this happened in 2017. 2018, you know, later 2017 was when they were finally caught. You know, everything going through the system. Mm-hmm. 2020 happened. And so just now, just recently, as of March, I think they finally were starting the actual criminal process and the proceedings. So they've all both been held until the trial. So, yeah, there is still not an ending technically to the story as far as like what their repercussions will be. It's awful to think that this woman all this time is, you know, just it's gross for me to think like she's posting all this stuff. I remember seeing the posts. I remember her crying at, you know, one of the ceremonies that they were doing for like Wella and stuff, like Trend Vision, I think it was, where she was like crying, talking about her husband and how much love they were. And you're seeing all these. Oh, God. Fucking Rob came to the fucking wake at their house. And somebody even took a picture of him while he was there, because he'd had bandages on his fingers. And they were like, this guy is suspicious. We've never seen him before. He's creepy. They sent that picture to the police. Like, I mean, it just how the fucking big balls on Rob to come to a fucking wake of the person you murdered.
Well, and then who was the other guy that's with him?
Well, that's the other mystery. No one actually knows, because there were two criminals. Mm-hmm. I mean, two people did do this. No one's saying a word, and this person has not been caught, so they have no clue. Ugh. They do know that she obviously was part of this plot,
yeah,
and that he was part of the duo that, you know, went through with the mm-hmm. actual act, but no one has given up this second person.
Ugh.
Or third party technically, I guess, in this, right?
Oh, and it's in our neck of the woods.
I know.
Too. Oh.
I know. I mean, if you think about it, I mean, this guy probably spent some time in prison. This could be somebody that he'd spent time with. Like, he may not even be really close to this person.
Mm.
Yeah, who knows?
Wow.
It's awful.
No, it is awful. And maybe it's on my mind because we just, you know, recorded the movie episode with War of the Roses, where it's just, I just don't understand people's choices sometimes.
Like, why?
You know what I mean? What you took a parent away from your kids. Like,
yeah.
Just get a divorce.
get a divorce.
All for some money. Sexual predator.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Who was dicking her down.
Who wouldn't have even been allowed to be around her kids, I'm assuming.
I would fucking hope not.
Oh, God.
Ugh.
Awful.
Yeah, what an angry episode.
Yeah, this is.
I didn't mean to heated. Be.
A lot of shit people in this episode, am I right?
Yes. Real, real garbage this time around. Hey, you know, sometimes worst dates are not pooping your pants. Sometimes worst dates are the worst people.
Are the worst people.
The
absolutely.
Worst people. Oof. Yeah. Well, to change it up, I have got to tell you guys about the fantastic experience I had this week watching a lovely show called Hacks.
Oh my God, so good. It's so
really
good.
It is
so good. Jean Smart is
brilliant.
Brilliant. I know. She's the best.
Brilliant.
They're so funny. Their chemistry
together is so great.
It's such a funny show.
It's cute.
It's so good.
Did you see Alex Chan?
Our friend,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I saw Alex Chen.
I was like, wait, what? That's Alex.
Our friend Alex Chen is in that show.
Yes.
And he
didn't
works.
Tell anybody. We just
yeah,
like see
never
him.
Tells anybody anything. He works all the time.
All the time.
And never tells anyone. Like, yeah. It's always a surprise. You could be watching something.
Same with
and you're
Bosch.
Like, oh, there he is.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I really want to watch that show.
It's so good. I mean, I have loved Jean Smart since Designing
Women back in the day,
which and made me really want to revisit that show.
She's fucking great in Mare of Easttown, too.
Like, I know. I want to see that.
Right.
She's so good.
She was great in The Watchmen.
She's always amazing.
She's brilliant.
Yeah, just brilliant, brilliant actress.
And keeps working, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Keeps on getting it.
So definitely recommend taking that one for a spin. It was just kind of the perfect tone for this week. Really enjoyed it. So what about you guys?
So I started, as usual, I'm like, I need something to put on in the background while I'm like working or doing something like that Anthony's not going to get committed to, right? So I started watching Younger on Hulu.
Oh, it's so good.
And I am enjoying
it.
Now, the premise of it, I'm like, you got to suspend some disbelief because I'm like, nobody's
in a million years thinks that she's
26. So the premise is that it's Sutton Foster, who's an incredible Broadway actress, you know,
so
who's
cute.
Done a lot of like TV and stuff too. And she's adorable.
And it's what's her name's husband? SVU.
Mariska Hargitay?
Mariska Hargitay's husband is who plays the boss.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. He's great. And then Hilary Duff, of course. So
love.
She's actually
great in it.
The best I've ever seen her act.
She looks
like, because
so
having
too.
Grown up with Lizzie McGuire,
mm-hmm. yeah.
there were some misses in the early,
she's a
Hilary
kid.
Duff career. Yeah. But she is really good in this. But the whole premise is that Sutton Foster is going through a divorce and her husband has left her for a younger woman and she has to sell her place and her kid's gone off to college and she's 40 and she went to like Bernard and wants to get back into publishing, but no one will hire her because
she's 40
and she took like a 15 year gap in her career. So she gets mistaken for someone younger at a bar and then her friend who is, what is her name?
Love her.
Widow's
Peak.
I don't remember, but she's Chris fantastic. And she tells her, like, why don't you just tell them you're 26? So she tells them that she's 26. She gets the job and now she has to pretend to be 26 to everyone in her life, which you have to suspend some disbelief because she doesn't really, like, she looks amazing, but she doesn't look 26, you know, but it's such a cute show. And of course, I was like 5 episodes in. And Anthony was like, what you watching?
Oh,
and he
no.
watched one episode with me, and now I can't watch it without him.
Oh, no.
So yeah. We are back being stuck.
I have a show for you that you will like that is in the same vein of that kind of lighthearted drama kind of thing. I think it's even on the same channel. If you haven't, I know I've shared it with you before. It's The Bold Type.
Oh, yeah. The Bold Type. Yeah.
So good. I really think you'd like
it.
Yeah,
I would totally watch that. That one, I think, is Freeform. What's funny about Younger is that it is TV Land.
Yes.
But it is also MTV for some reason because it's a TV Land show. But before every episode, it has the MTV like Spaceman logo. So somehow MTV and TV Land opposite weird ends of the TV spectrum,
right,
merged.
I don't think it's not opposite ends of the spectrum anymore. It's we're all old people now.
I guess
we know you're 40, bitches. Okay,
no, I cannot pull off 26. No, I don't think I can pull off 36. Listen, at this point, and that was 2 years ago.
I single-handedly love all of us real, real hard, and think that we all look real great for our age. I super, super stan all of us. However, I work with 26-year-olds. There's not a person in this room. Not a one person in this room.
Rude.
Because you know what it is? It's not even just a looks thing. That's the thing that you get right away with her, that you're like, there's no way. There's a maturity. Like, there is there is a way you carry yourself. It's different. I'm nothing wrong with 26. I'm just saying, like, it's impossible to act 26.
Yeah.
If you're already, I don't know. It just,
you know what age I'd go back to? 33.
Yeah.
I felt I was still like young enough to be keeping it toy.
Yeah.
But also old enough to start like coming into my own strength.
Yeah.
Yeah. 33 is where I'd go back to.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to go back to my 20s.
I'm going to stay right where I'm at. I'm happy. I think every year gets better. Age is just it's all a fallacy anyway. And it's interesting. I think 30s are rock and roll. Like they are, right? You're still in that great. There's something really incredibly great about the 30s.
Until you sneeze and throw your back out.
Right. I mean, that's the dangers of living.
Oh, God.
Your body's like, nah, fuck you. What I watched this week is we came home. We played darts last week with our friend Lyndon. And we came home. And this is when we were recording. Our guys were playing darts. And then when they came home, for some reason, Chris is like, I want to watch the other guys. And I was like, yes, always, every time. Always yes. That fucking movie is so hilarious to me. And
it is
I will
funny.
Always watch that movie. So it's literally been like just a slow vacuum for me of not being able to watch a lot of stuff because I've been so busy with work and my insane school schedule right now, which you guys saw my homework list for all that I need to accomplish before I can go on a 4th of July holiday. So
have fun. I mean, you really are like the pendulum swing for this year. Just like one extreme or the other. Mm-hmm.
It is. It really is. It's like, it really has been like, I'm either not working, doing nothing, watching all the TV, or doing everything.
Yeah.
Everything. Ask me how many times I've worked out this week. Because I have had no time.
Nice.
Zero.
Well, hey, if you guys have something that we should watch, read, if you have stories, reach out to us on our one-stop shop of a website. It's myworststatepodcast.com, and we love you so much.
Cheers.